Welcome everyone to the 1st of December Aries Working Group call. We are glad you're here. We will have an update, project updates, of course, our mobile summit update. And then the fine folks from Findy have come to discuss all of the fine work that they've had going on. And so we're excited about that. This is a Hyperledger call. We have an antitrust policy and a Hyperledger code of conduct. Please abide those. That keeps our work free from legal issues and helps us all to be excellent to each other. And if we can help in any way with those, please reach out to me or anyone in the community that you think would be helpful, and we will make stuff happen. We have an attendees list here. You are welcome to voluntarily add your name to the list. Agenda link is here in the chat, and you're welcome to update anything about the agenda that you would like. Is there anyone that is new today that would like to introduce themselves or have been attending and would like to reintroduce yourself?
This is Tim Bloomfield here. I don't think I've attended these meetings, but I'll just introduce myself as very interested in the in what's happening in Findy and how we can look at that in Canada as well. So very, very excited to hear what's happening there.
Welcome, Tim.
Thank you. I think let's see if one of my colleagues is going to join as well, who's focused on our Canadian Ontario side of our Canadian registry, but I don't see him yet.
Well, I will get this posted. So if he could follow up if he's late in joining. Cool. All right. Thank you everyone for being here. Are there any announcements that we should be bringing up? Probably next week we should discuss the schedule over the holidays. But are there any announcements we should be discussing today?
Yes. Anyone interested in the DID Indy method, the Indy contributors call next week on Tuesday, 8 Pacific, which is 5 CET. Is going to be talking about some plans that Indy ID Union and BC Gov have for getting that work going. So if there's interest in knowing what's going on with the Indy DID method, with contributing to it, that would be the call to join. That is in the middle of the Aries Mobile Summit. So I'm going to be cutting over at the 1 hour mark of that and jumping on and talking about DID Indy method. That's the normal Indy contributors call. That is December 7th.
Do you have a link?
I can put that in.
That would be amazing.
Yep.
I know a few folks that want to be there, and I'm highly interested in those folks going too. so excellent. Cool. Any other announcements? All right. Are there any work updates for the ongoing Aries related projects that folks want to report on today?
I've got a few. Aries Protocol Test Suite. We've had a number of updates coming in from Aries VCX. And so lots of more tests being run and tests and being completed with Aries VCX. Basically, the Aries VCX team has completed the revocation functionality and added those to the test suite. So that's there. I'll update the Aries Cloud in Python. 0.7.2 has been released, and it is now out. And as well, since then, the multi-ledger PR has been merged. So this allows a Akamai instance to be able to be started up with knowledge of multiple ledgers, and when a a identifier, a DID is resolved, it's checked, it's looked for on all of the ledgers that are configured. And once it's found, it's cached so we know which ledger it's on in the future. The ledger it's associated with is preserved, so we have that. So that multi-ledger functionality was first implemented by the Lissy folks in their wallet. It now exists in Aries Cloud Agent Python, and it also exists in Aries Framework JavaScript. So that's a stopgap measure for the DID-ND method. So we still need DID-ND method to make it a not look across all the ledgers to see if we can find the identifier, but know what identifier it's on just by looking at the identifier. But that functionality is now there. So those are two big things, or a big thing that's been added since 0.7.2 has been released. We've also done some updating on the Read the Docs documentation. There, 0.7.2 did not play well with Read the Docs, so that has been fixed. So that's all of that on Akapai.
Excellent, and thank you to the Lissy folks for fantastic contributions. That's great. Other projects that have updates they want to share? All right. So on our agenda today, we have a quick update from the Aries Mobile Summit, and then we will turn all the time over to the Findy folks. I will give a quick update. Here is the link to the session yesterday. The recording will be shortly posted, and I do have that. And the discussion was credential UX, and we only got to the first half of our topics. The discussion was quite good. We talked about overlay capture architecture and how it can apply to what we're doing here, as well as SVG rendering of credentials. And we discussed sort of a narrow MVP concept about, the sort of a narrow form of these things so that we can give it a try. And there are efforts both in the, I believe the Lissy wallet, as well as the, Bifold, Aries Mobile React Native project to demonstrate these things. There'll be some ongoing work there. We did not yet get to the machine readable governance implications on UX and the auto accepting or auto presenting based on approved verifiers. And so those topics we will have next week. We'll be holding credential UX part two, and where we will not be specifically talking about the layers and the rendering that we did last week, but we'll be talking about the governance frameworks and how those apply. And so that is next Tuesday at 8 a.m. U.S. Mountain, 7 a.m. U.S. Pacific. And I don't yet have a link there, but I will update this with a link when I create it. And the meeting link is on the individual agenda pages. It's different from the normal weekly meeting link that we have here, so as to avoid a conflict. So really good discussion, and I'm excited with what's going on. One of the things that that we're going to produce based on our meetings is actually a findings summary. I decided this last night when I was pondering the universe, where we organize or we highlight the various types of efforts and the things that folks have volunteered to do as sort of an outcomes of the summit. And so we will be adding to that as each meeting progresses and we sort of figure some stuff out and outline what we ought to be doing. And that can help folks that are looking for a way to contribute and also know what work has been volunteered for. So that's something that we'll be doing surrounding the summit. We will see how many sessions we actually hold. We're going to have to, I'm assuming, pause over the holidays. And that may be a good time to sort of call a pause on having active summit sessions and instead focus on getting some of the previous stuff done, and we might be able to resume as we cruise into next year. So I'll be seeking feedback on that. But grateful for all of the lively discussion that's happened there. Any questions or comments or corrections about the Mobile Summit update yesterday? All right. With that, I'd be very happy to turn the balance of our time over to Laura and the folks from Findy to tell us all about their fantastic work.
Okay. Pekka, if I share the screen, will you take the stage?
Should we have a small introduction first?
Sure.
Yeah. So my name is Pekka Kaipio, and I have been leading the self-sovereign identity development at OP Bank for a few years now. And Laura and Harri has been doing the more technical development during that time. Laura?
Yeah, hi. So my name is Laura Vuoreno and I have been working with OP Financial Group almost 3 years now. And for that whole time, I have been working with this self-sovereign identity and related stuff. And this Findy agency is the product of that work that we have been doing with Harri and Pekka. Harri.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, my name is Harri Lainio. We have very difficult names here in Finland, but I came OP a little bit earlier than Laura, and a different position actually than this one, but quite soon I switched to the emerging technologies or new technologies, and we have been playing around, should I say, fooling around with this technology. We have had quite many different versions of architecture and technical implementation, and the current version, we think that it's the correct one, but we shall see.
Okay, so I'm going to give a small introduction why we are here. So first of all, we work at OP Bank. OP Bank is the biggest bank in Finland. And especially we work in the OP Lab. It's the innovation unit. We have lots of different kinds of technology and discovery projects ongoing. And currently Findy is one of these projects. And when we talk about Findy, there are lots of different meanings about what is Findy. We have a Findy consortium in Finland with different companies and public entities working together with the actual network and the rule books. There's also a legal entity, a cooperative company established. It's named it's based on the Findy consortium, and its name is Findinet at the moment. And this project has been kind of a spin-off from the Findy consortium work. And the agency we are talking about today, it's developed by OP Bank. And the aim is to actually create a enterprise-grade agency to be used with Findy and also other self-sovereign identity networks. And how did we get here? So, little history. I have been working with blockchain technologies and crypto technologies over 5 years now at OP Bank. And in the early days, we got interested on these public blockchains and pretty quickly find out that the blockchain technology used in those networks doesn't actually fit for the highly regulated banking sector. So we started building decentralized networks for different kinds of financial assets with our partners These are so-called consortium networks. We built a real estate trading network. This is actually in production in Finland with 94% market share. Then we had experimentation with the company shares network and also with different kinds of trade finance networks. But there was a big problem with these kind of networks, and it was the issue with the identities, that the identities within these networks was not interoperable. So there is a need for decentralized identities, and especially for identity data. For example, company identities, know your customer data, and proof of authority claims. Those were a big problem for us. And of course, the self-sovereign identity seemed to be the all-in-one solution. And that led us to actually do some experimentation. And you really can't learn anything deeply without experimenting with the technology. And we started with the mobile edge clients and test networks. But we wanted to make the solution as pragmatic as possible because we have been playing with these technologies, with these blockchain technologies for a long time. And we wanted to make something that is actually useful from the point of our bank. And eventually our experimentations led us to build a cloud-based service. And it has quite distinct features compared to other solutions. More on this later. And you can actually read about the technical experimentation journey from our website. There's a blog writing that Harri has been writing, and it's a really, really good stuff. So our goals are to actually provide enterprise-focused solution for self-sovereign identity. And that means that we are going to use the best practices in the financial sector. And this means that we need to be compliant with the financial sector regulation. We need to have the proper identification, authentication methods, and also handle the data privacy in a proper way. And this is no easy task. And also we have different kinds of regulations with how do we actually deal with the contracts and the identities related to the contracts. But even though we are building this inside our bank and for the financial sector, we want to be compatible with the world. We don't want to build a silo or a single platform. We want to be fully areas interoperable, and we want to follow the common internet standards, for example, verifiable credentials. And also, we want to give something back to the community, and that's why we have released this as an open source. We hope to get contributions at some point, and we hope to have some kind of a cooperation with this technology so we can push this further. And next, Laura and Harri will tell more about the actual technical solutions.
Okay, thanks, Pekka. Can you see my screen now? This is, I'm not used to this Zoom sharing.
Yeah, it's
okay.
I'm intro.
Great. So like Pekka said, we are going to show you a demo. So we didn't want to do any boring PowerPoint presentation, but be brave and try to show it in action. Let's see how it turns out. But let's start with the overall architecture of our Findi agency solution. So maybe you get an idea that what have we built from there and what we are about to demo. So here is an architecture overview picture. Here in the yellow background, you see our backend that it consists of currently three microservices. Those are implemented with Golang. And our solution is multi-tenant, so it's able to serve multiple clients. The one installation is able to serve multiple clients. For individual users, we have built a web wallet, which is a React application. And it actually uses the agency services through a GraphQL interface. And for the organization agents, or as we call them many times, service agents, we have an API that's built with gRPC. So the organization clients can use the agency services through an API. And both of these clients use the same authentication model. So we use the FIDO protocol. We have a FIDO server running here in the backend. And with this web wallet, in this web wallet case, the browser web authent capabilities handle the web authent interaction with the server. And in the organization agent case, we have built for them a headless authenticator. And what we are going to demo is this web wallet, how it works, and how we can build these service agents. And I will show them from one angle, and then Harri will continue with another angle. Okay, but let's start by creating a user to the web wallet. I use here our AWS cloud environment, where we have installed this agency. But you can easily try the same in localhost as well. So if you go here in our website homepage, there is this try it out link. If you click there, you can find really detailed setup instructions, how you can run this agency in Docker containers in your local host. So I recommend you all to try it out. Anyways, let's start. So first we need to register a user. So we will register a user and bind his authenticator to the new account. And I will now pick a unique username that might not be used already and hit this register. So now browser asks me that which authenticator I want to bind to this account. I have two choices. So either the hardware USB security key or this device authenticator, and I will choose this device. And now the device is verifying my identity either by giving my password or using a Touch ID. So I will use the Touch ID and hopefully our registration succeeds, and it succeeded. So we have here the text that you can now log in. So now I have now registered my authenticator to the service and I can use it to log in to the service. So now when I tap this login button, it will ask me to identify myself again, and I will use my touch ID to log in, and we have created a new user and logged in. And of course, we have an empty wallet here, no credentials, no connections yet. And for that, for issuing and verifying, I will show you the use of this kind of issuer tool that we have also created. So I'm running this Azure tool in my local host environment. I have connected with this Azure tool to the cloud agency installation. So if we check the architecture diagram, so this Azure tool is like this one kind of service agent that has a single identity and has or onboarded itself to the agency and can now issue and verify credentials with this API. And we have built this kind of tool. I think these kind of tools are pretty familiar to you. So there are existing multiple different solutions for this kind of testing, but why we built this was in one hand to use it for testing and the other hand to test out how it feels like to use this our API from a JavaScript application. So this is a Node.js application that we are using, and it's using this API to the agency. Okay, but let's try to make a connection. Okay, and now we have a new connection. So this Azure tool is kind of really simple. It doesn't have any feedback. But we have a new connection here now, and now I can test here to send a message to this user. So it sends a pairwise basic message to this user, and then I can also test issuing. I can pick which pairwise connection I want to use, and then I have already created a credential definition before to this system, so I can use it. The one I have already created before, this is really simple credential with one attribute that is called email, and it has the value test at example.com, and I can send the credential offer from this UI. I receive it here in the web wallet, and I can tap here that accept. I want to have this credential, and now I should see a new credential in my wallet. Yay. Back to the chat, and I can also verify the credential from the Azure tool. So same thing, I just pick the pairwise connection and the same credential definition. And of course, this verification is kind of different thing because it's a two-part thing. So agency is the one which is making the cryptographic proof for this proof, but then it sends if that goes through, it sends these values to the Azure tool, and Azure tool checks that. Okay, that is there an attribute called email that has the value test at example.com. So that is what happens in these proof requests, and user accepts that he wants to prove this information, and that goes through as well. Okay, but I think these use cases are really familiar to you all, so nothing new there. What might not be so familiar is the way that we are calling the API and using the API. So this part here. So we have we are using this gRPC API, which means that it's like if you're not familiar with it previously, it's like REST but better. So it's working on top of HTTP2. And the API is defined using this protocol buffer language, and you can generate wrappers to different languages from this API definition. So for example, we have been using mainly Go and JavaScript, but you can create similar wrappers for Python, Java, C++. I think there are really a lot of different alternatives. So our API is polyglot, but still we don't have to like do this REST stuff, parse the JSON and so forth. So we can use the own structures of the language. If we check an example here, we have this Findicommon TS library that helps these Node.js applications to use this gRPC stuff. So, well, this part is just like opening the connection and setting the proper settings and so forth. But then the interesting part starts here. So if you check that, for example, here when we create the invitation, we just call function called create invitation. So we don't have to like fill a JSON object and post it to some endpoint, but the wrapper, the gRPC wrapper, is handling that all dirty stuff on behalf of us. And another cool thing here is that now that we have the agency running in the cloud, we can start listening to the agent events here. For example, here in my localhost machine. So in this kind of, with this kind of start listening call, we open a stream from the agency, and the agency can notify us using that stream, whichever events our agent receives. So for example, here, whenever we get a new pairwise connection established, we send a new basic message to that connection and say to that other end that hello world. And this all happens without exposing an endpoint to the internet. So we don't have to have like any sort of ngrok running in our computer or like any webhooks attached to the agency. We just open the gRPC connection and then we have the pipeline open. So this has been a really useful development approach for us, because we have had like this one agency installation in running in the cloud, and then we can all develop our own service agents locally easily and use the web wallet or whatever wallet that is compatible to test our localhost application. Okay, but I think that was my demo. Harri, go ahead.
Yeah, sure, thanks. All right, I also try to use the Zoom probably. So maybe I'll share the whole desktop. It's the best idea. Do you see my screen?
Yes. Yep.
Looks good.
Okay, good. All right. I try to continue from where Laura left, and about the architecture, there was that diagram where is the backend, and there is a couple of, as we call it, service agents and those clients, and it was something we figured out during this quite long period project that we don't have to use the did pairwise at the edge agent. That's our approach currently, when we found out that we could use the FIDO authenticators. It was interesting that the protocol which is behind the FIDO2 it's exactly equal to connection protocol in DIT world, but it's not symmetric because the authenticator is a passive device. So it doesn't need to share it public key to the or other round actually. But as Pekka mentioned also that because our background is financial sector, we are highly regulated and it affects certain things. And we would like to be able to bring this technology to our offering as fast as possible. And then we have to also take care of certain things that we cannot make everything from the scratch, that because there is too much work for those guys who are dealing with the regulator. So that's also been our approach when we have tried to find the optimal architecture. I have gathered some things here, what we have learned during the whole project, that what have been guided us, because I think that my background and Laura's as well is more in the, should I say, software or theoretical computer science background. No, not so much crypto, but as well that too. And because of that, we have tried to be very pragmatic and take care of things that will affect the final product quite much, like the performance and scalability. But let's see the demonstration. There's lots of panes here, lots of small windows, but I thought that I start from the situation where I am actually in Ubuntu and I don't use Docker because I don't have to. And in certain point of the development process, it's more easier that you just start those backend services as them are. And you can like more easily hook the debugger or something like that. But what I have here, the upper areas, the left one, that's the our FIDO2 authenticator server. And the right one is the our agency, as we call it, the multi-tenant agency. And then I already have a couple of onboarded agents in my system. This is the demo Alice, and that cryptic UID is the pairwise connection ID we are using. And how I have implemented all of this is that there is a bunch of pretty tiny Bask scripts, which are running above our command line tool. And this command line tool is like a very similar to, could I say, modern command line tools like kubectl or Docker or Git or something like that. That there are you can do everything with this, but the communication between the agency and this one, it goes through the JWT token and our own headless authenticator. But let's see what you can do with this. For example, let's measure also that how fast this is. Because as I said, I have already a pairwise connection between Demo Alice and Demo Bob. Demo Bob is below there. And that is actually correct figure. It's like a 50 milliseconds and it runs really, but of course in this same machine. And there is Bob, and I could now, for example, start the listening process that I could see that what has been happening during that I wasn't connected, as Laura explained you that you easily can stay like online because the gRPC protocol, it's streaming protocol, it works both direction, but you still don't have to be a server, you can be a client. Let's see what's here, like the agent, and I can say that listen it, and now it says that this is what is happening, and if I enter other one, they are coming here as well. So it as you can see, it runs, everything runs through the agency. About the agency in this point, you don't have to have only one. Everybody can have own agency if they want, because it's so tiny and it's only have about 20,000 lines of Go code, because when we started to build it, we started to build it as multi-tenant server. So everything is multi-tenant in both directions through the ARIES protocols and as well those FIDO authenticators as well. Let's see some other demo maybe. I can start here. The listening process, as we call it, and the other one could be like that's almost similar what Laura showed you, but I'll show this because we think that it proves how smoothly you can play with this when you are doing the development. So let's send something to Bob. And it works as you can see. We could even send some files through that pipe if we want. Let's see if I would have some quite big. There, but is it here? Yes. And it went through, and they really are the basic message from the ARIES protocol. I thought that because we are limited with the time, that I start with when the pairwise is already done, and now I could show something that I mentioned that we have like a DevOps commands as well. I could ask from the agency itself that what is going on. There is this count command, and it says that there is 6 open wallets and there is registered, and that's real figure, 11,240 wallets, and we have own pooling system which is doing that. That it seems to, when we have tested and stress tested it as well, it's working pretty well. Maybe I saw how you could do the pairwise with these scripts. So like first I would wait a second, because I have to do it like this. Some name, for example, in demo X. Now I have onboarded agent. It really is onboarded in the core agency as well. You saw that mostly it happened in the authenticator server here, this window with this FIDO2 authenticator server. But let's make a second one. Now I have allocated two agents from the agency, and I would like to have make a pairwise between them. I would do it like this, if I remember right. We have tried to build everything like Linux or Unix pipe and filter architecture. So let's try it. Connect would be the command here. Yes, now I have the pairwise command, and I could show same thing to you as I did earlier in the right side windows. But because we are limited with the time, I thought that maybe I will end this with showing that there is situation where I have already been connected to our cloud agency. It's running on WS, and I have had this connection for some hours now, and the command line is called op alice, and Carol2 is this web wallet, and I could send hello again to the Carol2, and there it was, and let's watch this reader here, because this is a script interface. Everything is splitted like small pieces. So let's answer. Was it Alice? Yes. And it works, as you can see. It came through there. Of course, we could show how the most important things do, but Laura showed them as already. You can actually play it with the verified credential pretty easily from the command line as well. So I hope this showed that this works pretty fast. I'm still hoping that it could be more faster, because if we think that there will be much of ditch resolving and stuff like that, we could achieve almost same performance figures like a DNS server. But I don't know what you guys think. But that was my demo.
Okay, thanks, Harri. Maybe it's time for questions if you have any.
That was awesome. Wow. Lots of thoughts. Just wanted to confirm, under the covers, it looks like you're running Indie SDK under the covers, and I assume the Indie wallet within the Indie SDK for storage and persistence.
Yeah, that's true. It's actually the most stable component of ours that when I started, it's almost 3 years ago, yeah, I built a Go wrapper over the Indie SDK. Yeah. Okay. And we haven't had any problems with that.
Yeah. Have you run like any performance demos or tests with just hammering issuers to many, many wallets?
Yeah, if you mean that those wallets are ours, yes, we have, and it performs extremely well. Those figures that they goes, we have these because Go offers those not only unit tests but benchmarks as well.
Yeah.
Both issuing and proofing, if I remember right, a little bit slower. It goes round to round, end to end, in 130 milliseconds. But there's no any network lag in that figure because yeah. Go simulates the network layers in those benchmarks. Yeah. But otherwise, it's real thing. There is persistent for our state machine storage and also persistent those wallets as well.
Hmm. Lots to think about on this.
So I saw on one of the previous diagrams that the connection type or the transport you were using between various components was a gRPC connection. Are you passing DIDCOM messages over that gRPC connection, or are you using gRPC in the traditional way?
Not passing DID messages in, but using it like the ordinary way. Yeah.
Yeah. For those who aren't aware, the Findy team submitted a Aries test harness back channel a few months ago, and all tests basically work and run, like all the DIDCOM tests, all the interoperability tests in the test harness run with Findy and Akapai, for example. So, you know, just the back channel appeared one day and all the tests ran, everything worked. So definitely doing full Aries interoperability with all of the other frameworks. Really good.
Yeah. So that has been one of our topics this fall, that we have been enhancing the interoperability. So we did our first interoperability tests, was it like 2 years ago with Akapai? And everything worked back then with Akapai, but then we started to use the harness and it revealed lots of good issues that we have been then fixing, and now I think we're in a good state with the interoperability. Of course, like more needs to be done, like always, but anyways.
Yeah,
that's true. There's because I have this audience, maybe I put it out that the last thing there is the routing thing that because it seems that currently the Aries DID protocol, it's like a statically routed, that endpoints have to know that what is the route the message should take. And I don't know how good idea it actually is, but it was a surprise for us, and we have to take care of that. I think that it's one of the last things that there is. Everything else, like the invitation formats and some other little issues, they went pretty smoothly.
Awesome. I am so grateful to the Findy team for coming in and sharing with us what you've done. I know there are links that you've added into the agenda today. So those are there. If folks are interested, you can go and find out more. We are at the top of the hour. Grateful for everyone for coming. Reminder about the Tuesday mobile credential UX summit meeting, and also draw attention to the DID Indy method work that Stephen brought up at the beginning. Link is also in the agenda. Grateful for everyone for coming. And thanks again to the Findy team. Grateful for all of your work and for presenting today. And we will see you all elsewhere on the internet and next week at our regular meeting here.
Awesome. That was a great session.
So good. Yeah. So good.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.